Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. All right, guys, let's check in with the charts. What do you say?
I would love it.
See the chart. What's top in the charts, Casey Kasem?
So on the book chart, this is something that we haven't really looked at up to this
point. They make chart for book?
Yeah, they make chart for book on Amazon.
Wow.
And one of the top books right now is The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump.
Yeah.
By Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett.
Greg 2G's. Love it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Old 2G's.
Gregignant. Gregignant.
It's getting amazing user reviews, but...
What are their user reviews like?
Just in love.
Yeah.
But they like try and do the soft sell. Like the top user review that is 5 stars is like, hey, I know like you guys might not like Trump, but you should check this book out. Give it a read if you like to read. It's really good, easy read. Like you'll love it. It's just entertaining. And like if you want to know the truth, you should read this because you're all sheeple.
whoa. What was that last part?
And PolitiFact just debunked like a ton of the crazy things that the book claims.
I mean, this is
apparently it's wildly out of date already.
Right.
When did it come out?
Like a month
ago. Oh, amazing. Good, right. good.
Well, yeah, especially with the pace of this thing. I guess it's true. There's like an emerging market for the left and the right, or like these sort of like opiate books that either help you believe that the White House is a total fucking dumpster fire, but then added stuff that make you get like, oh, yeah, it's got to end awful for this motherfucker. And then on the other side, it's like the QAnon shit or this stuff. It's like, nah. It's all good, guys. It's all gonna be fine.
Everyone gets a check.
Yeah.
The complete ketogenic diet. So shout out to Iffy because he's talked about that before on the podcast.
Keto.
But that's the new diet fad, right? Where you just eat.
Just put your body in a state of ketosis, where your body burns fat.
What's ketosis?
Yeah. Well, it's basically where you go into a state where normally you burn carbohydrates for your energy. But if you don't eat any carbohydrates, your body will then start burning its fat reserves for energy.
Okay.
And then you're passively shedding your weight.
So you're just not eating carbs.
You're not eating carbs, but you're also eating a ton of fat and things like that because that's your new fuel. And like you're trying to get your body to switch energy sources.
Oh, that's great.
You just eat KFC skin.
My dad did fucking turn into a rail thin dude.
Right.
And like to the point where he's like, I need to stop.
Yeah.
I'm too keto.
If you want to look like Iggy Pop, this is a good diet.
Ooh, the Iggy Pop diet.
But then I hear, but there's a lot of, I don't know, people talk bad about it. I don't know where the science community has fully landed, but I think it's, to this point, people like it.
Yeah, and it's big out here. Like, you hear it on a regular basis. People talk about,
I'm keto.
1984 is still in the top 50, which, I mean, that's a long time because it was written in 1984.
1948.
Four, right?
No.
4884.
Whoa. Pretty cool. Ever heard of it? Pretty cool.
Isn't that based off his travel to somewhere?
I think it's his travels like in Eastern Bloc.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, where he totally blew his mind. He's like, okay, I think I know what I'm going to write about.
Yeah. And this book that was mentioned on Friday's episode by guest Kirby Hal
Baptiste,
The Four Agreements, A Practical Guide to Personal Wisdom. I went on a deep rabbit hole on this because it is the modern The Secret. I've heard it talked about by people who are fans of self-help literature. Mm-hmm. And it has four basic ideas that you're supposed to agree with, like use your words wisely and basic stuff, but like make those the focus.
Make you think.
Make you think. But it's based, the thing that I like about it, that might just be a scam by the author, but it's supposedly based on Toltec wisdom, which is like they're the predecessors of the Aztecs.
And, I've seen Legends of the Hidden Temple. Bro.
Right.
I know about Toltec.
Exactly. So like Legends of the Hidden Temple.
The big head from the
Legends. That's actually Olmec.
You read a book?
Right.
Yeah, that's Olmec.
I mean, we have all of these cultures in America that we, you know, basically paved over. But they did have written traditions. They're just, they haven't been fully translated yet. But there's a whole entire library of ideas and philosophies and art and knowledge that's out there from a part of the world that was completely cut off from a lot of the world that we have studied up to this point. So it seems like, I don't know, it's a promising idea to me. I don't know enough about the book.
I love self-help, and I love how it's just like, be nice.
Yeah.
The secret I like was very into it. My mom was deeply into it. She had a major thing with like spoiler alert for The Secret. Like, don't tell anyone what The Secret is.
Because it was like a competitive advantage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I was like, Mom, it's the most popular movie in the world.
She's
like,
don't tell anyone.
Oprah, shut up.
Shut the fuck up, Oprah. I guess all those self-help books really just boil down to go easy on yourself.
Yeah, a lot of them,
like,
do.
In a way, like it all, you sort of arrive at the same place. Like, I need to relax a little bit more. I need to go easier on myself.
Yeah,
things are not as bad as I'm always making them out to be, and things will improve from that.
That's a big one from the Four Agreements. One of them is that we have these built-in sort of ideas from our parents that are like, when you actually examine them, the reasons we get mad at ourselves are really stupid.
Really, yeah. Like my ED, you know.
Right. Just, yeah, it's like,
I can't control that. There, you know?
Well, The Secret I love because it's just like, if you want a car, every day say to yourself, I want a car. And then one day, car shows up. Self-driving car, a Tesla just pulls itself into your bedroom.
Beep, beep, beep. Hi, here for you.
I want a car. Siri, I want a car.
Give me the car.
Miles, it's not your fault. Let's get into the Rosé conspiracy, guys.
Mm-hmm. What is this conspiracy exactly?
So apparently, this article was written by a Rosé expert, a person who has written books on Rosé and what quality Rosé is. Bring in the conspiracy music. She basically says that Rosé is generally usually garbage, and they use grapes that can't be used in other wines. And then apparently this stuff called bulk wine that she refers to is made with 75 ingredients besides grapes, which I didn't know was possible, but apparently wine doesn't need to have ingredients on the bottle.
Yep.
75 ingredients that are not wine?
Yeah, that are not grapes. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, go on.
Yeah.
The fuck? I didn't even realize. I thought it was simple. Like, the rules of wine was like, motherfucking grapes.
It's a grape.
Yeah, you would think so.
Water and grapes.
So they say that somewhere along the line, a rosé company will realize a restaurant is popular or has some buzz, particularly around the wine program. So they stop by, drop off a business card, and then they will, you know, start offering things like cash incentives to the sommelier. The writer of the article is a sommelier. Dinners, she writes, sporting game tickets, proving that she is...
Sporting game.
Yeah.
As posh as you think she'd
be. Yes,
exactly. Hello, fellow billionaires. Would you like a ticket to the sporting game?
And basically it's a payola deal for putting different bottles of rosé. And the way that they can sort of trick people is that rosé is served colder than other beverages.
Yeah.
And the colder the beverage, the easier it is to
mask the flavor.
Right. You basically are masking the flavor with the sensation of coldness, which is why Coors Light made it their whole thing to be like, our beer is cold.
It's so cold, you don't realize you're drinking it. Piss.
Look for the Blue Mountain and just close your eyes and think of England.
Right. And then in Europe, you know, they serve beer at room temperature because they know how to make beer, apparently. Americans are not going to like that statement.
No,
but
no.
I find alcohol marketing really interesting. Like, I read an article a long time ago about the guy who made Grey Goose, and I think he became a billionaire off of this. And just the way he made his first amount of money was by discovering that Jaeger was this thing that, like, frat guys were taking shots of as, like, a dare.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, we could actually market that. And so he started with this one college and then started like building out this marketing network of people who were like taking Jaeger shots as a dare and essentially like made it into the college like shot alcohol that it is today.
Which is why bars now have that weird fucking cooling machine with the upside down bottle behind the bar.
And the little spigots on it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, you shot a Jaeger out of this weird.
It was just like some frat bros discovered this like weird German or, you know, some European country aperitif. And they were like, oh, this is so gross. Like, but it also doesn't make you feel sick to your stomach because it is like for digestion.
Yeah, because like, it's used as like medicine for something. Like, oh, have a little bit of Jägermeister.
I didn't know that that was why it was appealing, because every time I've ever had Jäger, I felt like I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it's like it feels like a rite of passage. Like, yeah, man, you do some fucking Jäger shots, not because you love. The flavor was never that appealing to me.
Right. But I don't think it's appealing to most people, but realizing that he was basically a marketing wizard after he like tricked people into buying like the grossest liquor ever, he was like, well, what can we trick people into drinking next? And so Grey Goose was the first vodka where they charged basically like 50% more than other vodkas, which is already sold at a huge markup. And like chemically, it's identical to other vodkas, but they just put it in a what looks like a wine bottle and put like a cork on the lid or on the cap, and that like made it seem classier. And you know,
it worked.
Even more money on that.
It's that frosted bottle.
It's interesting that it's such a chemically based thing, like an actual widely used drug that most people have used. You'd think that we'd be better at knowing like how the chemical makeup affects us, but it actually, I feel like, has so much tied up into like self-mythologizing and self-image that it's easier to trick people with marketing with alcohol.
It's weird that rosé like fucking blew the fuck up in the last 5 years, though. I remember like it being like, oh yeah, there's that pink wine, and then everything was like, it became like a lifestyle thing.
I'll go to your bridal shower if there's rosé.
Right.
All day shirts. Yeah. I'd rather, like rosé
hats.
Yes way,
rosé.
Rosé pink houses.
Well, no,
rosé
I was at
cans.
Target. I was at Target and I was like trying to get a like just some beach towels and shit. And the only ones they had left were these like all the rosé line of beach shit. And I was like, yo, they have Yes
Namaste
Way.
Namaste and rosé.
Yeah, like seriously, like rosé and chill. Rosé. Like chill and rosé. Like, okay, cool.
Wow. Netflix and chill and rosé tied together. The most of the moment corny thing.
But guys, if you do like a dry and fruity floral rosé, please check out Provence or Grenache.
I dig a good rosé mostly just because like I dig cold shit in the summertime. Most wine makes me sweaty. So it's one of the few beverages that doesn't do that. But also, if anybody here's ever had rosé at anything other than really, really chilled, it tastes like shit. Canned rosé that's really popular now, because they had this house painted brightly pink somewhere over on Wilton. And they didn't say what it was for, but millennials kept going to take like selfies there and take photos and tour the house. And it turns out the house was actually an advertisement for like millennial pink being tied in with rosé for this campaign for this canned rosé.
Oh,
so people
Jesus.
Didn't even know that when they were tagging themselves in all of this, they were essentially like creating the hashtag that would be used for this rosé company.
Oh,
yeah.
They were tricked into thinking it was like an art installation, but it was actually advertisement for this canned rosé thing.
Wow.
And I tried that canned rosé at a party once, because they had these like girls walking around having people try them. The only thing is they didn't chill it sufficiently. So as soon as we all took one giant swig, it was just like a back, because it tasted like those buzz balls that you get at gas stations.
Wow, yeah. Them like half sphere.
Yeah, the half
drinks.
Spheres that always taste like plasticky somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, there's the thing. You can't have this at anything other than almost frozen.
Right.
I mean, Frosé was big too.
Frosé is huge.
That was like the hit of last
That's
summer
like a
and this year.
Wine slushy.
Yeah, it's like a wine slushy that they even like made tumblers for. Like they looked like little wine glasses, but they had like a little sippy at the top, and they would keep it frozen so you can like take it with you places.
Achoo.
Yeah.
Rosé, man. The market is strong.
Just go for a cheap white Zinfandel. It does the same thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what they say. Like it's pretty much what you want. If you want the rosé experience, do the Zinfandel. But I wonder if they can. You're like, ooh, this is good wine. They're like, actually, legally, we can't say wine. It's 1% wine.
It's a grape drink.
Yeah.
Alcoholic grape drink.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the social medias were abuzz over the weekend because Netflix apparently started showing them ads.
You get out of here with this
you
shit.
You motherfucker.
I was giving a promise.
I know. I don't not pay for access to a Netflix account to see ads.
Right.
No, sir.
Yeah, but I mean, we're supposed to be able to binge. When you're binge drinking, you don't have to pause between bottles for a few words from Captain Morgan. You're just expecting to mainline that shit.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of breaking the spell of, you know, what we go to Netflix for,
right?
According to
because I think it started like
on social media,
on Reddit, someone posted, they're like, I'm getting ads after my Bob's Burgers or some show they're watching, mm-hmm. and then other people were like, I think I'm getting it too, but not everyone got it. But the whole new thing was like, it was suggesting shows in between your binge sesh, and then Netflix kind of came out with a statement that said, you know, it's a test. They say, quote, we are testing whether surfacing recommendations between episodes helps members discover stories they will enjoy faster. And I get that,
yeah.
But I feel like most people, it's weird. I use Netflix like when I used to have DVDs, and you just had that like those same like fucking 40 DVDs. And you're like, what am I going to watch today? The same 9 episodes of The Office I've always been watching,
right?
Or whatever. And like even, and I'll ignore the thousands of other things. That might be good, but I think a lot of people were mad or whatever, but again, they're saying it's just a test. So they do this all the time. This isn't the first time they've tested things. So if you don't like it, don't interact with it. And then maybe we'll get the fucking message that we don't like the ads.
Even though I feel like that's not going to work, because I feel like they've already introduced UIs that we have shown we hate and they're sticking around. Like the autoplay of trailers when you scroll through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone has been very, very vocal that they hate that UI and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Right.
Like I used to work customer support for Hulu and I would get like insane amount of calls and emails and whatever it may be for something that we introduced and like the numbers showing that people aren't interacting, but it doesn't change.
Right. They're like, we have to do this for money. So
I think the most annoying thing is that once you see an ad for something, you're like, fuck, I can't watch that because then it will seem like the ad worked.
Oh, so is that
like
how you think?
Well, I mean, if we're going by your rules, which are you can't like actually click on the thing.
Right.
You know, because they're just trying to expose you to new things while you're watching your same 9 episodes of The Office. Miles.
Yep.
You're just trying Love to open your mind.
Great episode.
Great episode.
Great Asian racism in that one. It's so heartwarming for me.
But, I mean, this isn't... Yeah, like you were talking about DVDs and VHS tapes, and we had to sit
those
through...
Those VHS tapes?
We had to sit through, like, previews before those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. And also, Netflix apparently has been selling us shit in the background of their movies and, like, product placement, and we just didn't realize it, or I didn't at least. That scene during Stranger Things 2 where the kids are like shoving KFC into their mouth and one of them says, "This is finger licking good." That was an actual product placement, like that KFC paid.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
For.
Damn you, Stranger Things.
Tin cup whiskey, it pays for product placement on Jessica Jones, which is weird because the show makes it clear she like has a serious drinking problem.
Yep.
GMC pays for product placement on Queer Eye. Dunkin' Donuts pays for product placement on House of Cards. Jose Cuervo pays for product placement on Fuller House.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Where the when the fuck were they sipping Cuervo?
Probably
I don't know.
When DJ. Tanner. Not DJ, but the
DJ,
other one.
DJ Tanner, when DJ, Stephanie goes as
Stephanie
DJ Tanner?
Stephanie as a DJ.
At Coachella?
Yeah, probably then. Wow, they made that real confusing to try and describe.
I know.
Jesus.
I'm trying to think, though.
Millennials are so easy to market
to. Hey, I fuck
to.
With Fuller House. It's awful. It's right. A terrible show, but there's something so nostalgic about that family. I don't know what it is. I can't quit them.
I know we're easy to market to just because of the amount of subscription services I have.
Right.
I have a subscription water bottle service. I am so fucking gullible.
Wait, a subscription water bottle?
Or they just send you an empty bottle?
It's called Circle. The first one is free because the first one always is.
Of course.
And they send you a free water bottle with interchangeable filters that taste like different things but don't
have
sugar.
Hey, they're not a sponsor, okay?
And they're definitely not a sponsor.
You're making this
sound
too good.
And they do not taste that great.
Oh, good.
I think they taste good. Everyone else thinks they taste like trash, but I like the taste of sugar-free things.
Right.
So I like it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hate that sweetener.
Yeah, like I like the taste of sweetener things.
Of aspartame.
Yeah. But,
aspartame. Otherwise known as aspartame.
Which is, I think, technically a neurotoxin or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm dying
it
slowly.
It has some kind of classification as a neurotoxin?
That's a weird one because, yeah, it gave rats cancer and there was like a lot of publicity around that. But first of all, there's speculation that, you know, a lot of that was funded by the sugar industry and also the amount of...
Big sugar.
Right, the amount of aspartame you would have to take would... like have to come in wheelbarrows to be the equivalent of what the rats
are eating. Right. I just meant more in the sense that like the way it tricks you to give that sensation of sweetness is by tricking your like brain cells and shit.
Really?
Anyway,
yeah, that makes sense.
I already
sense.
Got tricked into getting the water bottle.
I mean, and I'm out here pronouncing it as aspartame, so you know, take that with 3 grains of salt.
At that point, I mean, there's also these things about how like different colored pills can make you like go to sleep faster and sleep longer if it's like a blue colored pill. And it's like, yes, it's a placebo, but when you get into like the brain chemical it's causing, it's both pills are just causing chemicals to occur in your brain. So at that point, it's like getting into the matrix of like human existence. Yeah. It's like, well,
of course the blue pill puts you to sleep.
Right.
Bro.
Exactly.
That fucking red pill.
Well,
dog.
We do that with food all the time. Like wasabi shouldn't be that green. Ginger shouldn't be that pink. Mm-hmm. Like banana pie shouldn't be that yellow. But like people need the little push to be like, oh, that must be delicious. It's brightly colored by what I think it should be.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Glowing.
Yeah.
I need that in my mouth.
Yeah. I do just worry about what this says about us, that we're up in arms about them showing us ads for their other products, but we're just letting them like shove KFC ads like down our throats just because it's like, yeah, well, it doesn't like interfere with the stream of content that's just like going directly into my veins, you know?
I'm just waiting for someone to break the fourth wall in the middle of a fucking show to sell something.
Like 30 Rock?
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
When they just look at the camera and be like, Snapple!
Right.
Do we know if Doritos paid for the Wayne's World spot? I wonder.
You
they
mean
probably
like that
did.
Whole section where they
that
do
that whole
all
section
of them?
Where they do like product placement? They're I mean, like, they probably would have had to because you can't say Doritos without getting Doritos permission. So, by the way, Doritos are delicious.
The taste of a new generation, Pepsi.
And they're so flammable.
Oh, I can't. I got this
so
headache.
Flammable.
Yeah.
Here, Doritos. Take two of these. What are they? Nuprin, little, yellow, different.
I miss the 3D ones.
The 3D, oh shit.
3D Doritos, remember them? They would come in that weird like little canister.
Yeah.
And then you'd pop, like it looked like a flashlight and you pop it open and they were like all puffed out. Oh fuck, I love those.
They were like basically two, like it reminded me of like a Japanese chip that's like a puffed corn chip. Basically, it was like a puffed corn chip but made to look like a triangle had become pregnant.
Yeah.
Didn't they serve those at 7-Eleven? Like, or there were like hot three-dimensional Doritos. I never had them, but I always wanted to.
Oh, the Asteroids. There were hot Cheeto Puffs.
Yes.
I know my trash food.
Yes. And welcome to our new podcast, Trash Food.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. We wanted to talk about the president's Coke problem.
Can smell it through the bag. Can smell it through the bag.
Oof.
Oh, no, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the president having a dependency on Diet Coke.
All that aspartame.
Okay.
Yes, all that aspartame. We've talked before
should
about how...
rewrite some of my jokes for this.
I think we talked even yesterday about how a lot of the artificial sweetener, like... panic that happened in the 80s was because they were feeding, like, in order to take in the amount of artificial sweetener that they fed rats that gave them cancer, you would have to eat NutraSweet by the, like, wheelbarrow full.
Oh,
right.
So it's like, well, nobody would ever do that.
Except
our president is doing that. Omarosa and her latest book. Her latest
book.
She has more
than one.
You
probably read her first couple.
I did.
Her latest is about her time in the White House, and she talks about how she would put the average at 8 cans a day for the last 15 years. In her time knowing him, she said he never does not have a Diet Coke in his hand, which totals out to 43,800 cans of Diet Coke that he has poured into his body in that time. They say that your body completely replaces its cells every 7 years. So he is mostly Diet Coke. I guess, at this point.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, a can's 43,000. You got 125 milligrams of aspartame in a can. So I don't carry the three. So he's ingested about 14 pounds of aspartame.
Aspartame.
Yeah. Could you imagine eating a 14-pound bag of aspartame?
I can't imagine you just did math in your head. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, I'd hate to play into the stereotype, but I am good with a calculator.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's actually ridiculous. But I also kind of feel like LaCroix might be killing us too.
Yeah.
Well, what's in there, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Aside from the problematic CEO. Every time I reach for the can, I think of those pilots. And I retreat.
I didn't know LaCroix was problematic.
No, well, the CEO is kind of a kooky guy. We did a story on him. He was feeling up the pilots on his private jet,
ew,
like a bunch of times. And he's a very odd person. But, you know, this is neither here or there. We're talking about the president.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I don't like that. So do you think he has like a diet can of Coke? A diet can of Coke, and in lieu of coffee or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think it's only drinks.
I think it's the only thing he drinks.
So
like,
no
literally
water.
Literally the only liquid that he
We've seen
takes
him drink
in.
Water.
Have we?
Yeah,
oh,
like,
yeah, that one time.
Remember he held it like a fucking otter?
But he didn't
otter.
Know how to hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was
that.
Like, is this going to come apart in my hands?
Like, oh, God. Give me that.
Also, he's just dehydrated.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because he infamously does not do drugs or drink alcohol or something like that, right?
Infamously.
Infamously. Yeah. That's the thing he's most known for.
Right.
Unless a doctor prescribes it,
right.
In which case all bets are off.
We do know that he used to see back in the 80s and 90s, used to see a doctor who was famous for prescribing Manhattan socialites, just all the speed in the world.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
That would make a lot of sense of his behavior also. Although people are saying that even Diet Coke can contribute to dementia. There have been new studies that say that people who drink a lot of Diet Coke are more likely, like 5% more likely to suffer from dementia and
even,
have strokes.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, those medical studies it wasn't saying that there was like a cause and effect relationship, but that when they observed that group.
And what was the study sponsored by, like Diet Pepsi or something?
Right. I mean, I don't know about that. I think it was done like
It was actually
sincerely.
The UK's National Health Service. So.
Yeah.
Which is owned by
but
Diet
even,
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yes. The UK is owned by PepsiCo.
By PepsiCo. Yeah, but I think, you know, but even then they're like, we're not trying to say that there's a cause and effect, but we noticed this
mm-hmm.
relationship.
I mean, who'd think that?
The thing that struck out to me was that in the Omarosa thing, she was saying that she would have to go make the Diet Coke runs, like go out to Sam's
this
Club
is the most
to stock
thing.
The fridge. Now, if
the
I'm not mistaken,
Sam's
you'd imagine that in the White House, being the president, even for this asshole, they would be like, what do you need in the house to be like
comfy.
Livable, you know, because it's not a fucking Airbnb where they're like, hey, there's a loaf of bread in there. You can have that.
Right. We'll have it. Like, we'll have it helicoptered in from the Coke Corporation.
In Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why I was like, is that like a shade move to like be like, yo, go get my Coke at Sam's Club?
Right.
Well, it's like, I work in the Oval Office.
Right.
Or maybe he's just going through them so quickly the staff can't keep up.
Right.
They're like, we have him coming in on pallets. I don't understand. What, is he just taking one sip and then throwing it away? Does he always have to have the new sip of a can?
Oh, no. He has an IV drip that just is Diet Coke.
Good Lordy.
What does he do? So, because that is how he consumes a lot of junk food, right? Like
through IV?
No, the throwing most of it away and just taking like one bite or he...
I feel like... I don't know, for how big
pizza,
he is.
I think he doesn't...
He just eats the toppings.
Eats the toppings.
From one report we read.
Right.
He only likes...
He only eats the burger
what he calls
part of
the
big
good
Macs.
Part. The good part.
Yeah.
The good part.
I only eat the good part, which is the cheese and the pepperoni.
I can't stop getting that one image of him climbing up the airplane. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, his booty's popping. Mm-hmm. Where, like, the wind is blowing. That's just in my mind right now as we're talking about
That's why
diet.
I'm like, that's a dude who respects the sacrifice made for all those burgers. He's eaten those to completion, I feel like.
So this brought up a question in my mind because he basically... eats 3 Big Macs a day is the estimate, like on average.
But he's not eating McDonald's every damn day, is he? He just
I
eats it a lot.
So. He eats it a lot. And
I know
he
campaign
can eat whatever the fuck
like
he wants. So, but it raises the question: if they're going to Sam's Club for Diet Coke, they're just going to like an average McDonald's, and it's like 3 guys with like earwigs and like clearly Secret Service agents being like, "We need 5 Big Macs." And
These for you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a teenager's probably
farting all over it.
Yeah, farting all over it. And mm-hmm. maybe like like, why? That just seems like such a wild security risk to be taking. Like,
but that's, but no, he, his whole logic is they never know when I'm coming, therefore they can't fuck with my thing, and that's how I stay safe.
Yeah,
that's always been the thing with him, and like, cause it, he's such a germaphobe that he feels like, well, they'll never fuck me over at McDonald's.
Or maybe Diet Coke is an anti-venom for most poisons.
Right.
Wow. And he's just drinking it by the buttload because of that.
It kills the poisons. It's so bad for you, it actually kills all poisons.
It also makes me think that he's definitely had like a Sam's Club like burger or hot dog or something like that, just Omarosa picking it up on the way out.
Right.
Go by Costco.
Yeah.
Get me a chicken bake.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the same time, he's sending people to pick up his McDonald's. Like, we don't know if he can trust those people to not be like, this is for the president, man.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, and also those people probably hate him because he's like so mean to everybody. So I just have to think he's ingesting a lot of cum. But that's
definitely.
Me.
Oh, yeah. That's not through food.
Also,
though.
Pick a better burger. You're the freaking president.
Yeah, right?
Like, there's other options.
Yeah, we're getting mad now because like, God like, damn I'd it, McDonald's drinking... still?
Right.
Have like a fucking, I mean, have you had the Bubba's brand frozen patties? Some shits cook all right for being frozen.
Yeah, they get some birch beer in there.
Oh, yeah.
Some like bougie ass soda.
He probably, it's probably so disgusting because he's like a steak well done with fries, dude, even at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was just listening to the last podcast on the left about the Iceman and like how he murdered people with poisons with what's the one poison that smells
cyanide?
Like almonds? Cyanide. And like it's, I don't know, it's just
smells like almonds?
It's that's horrible. I love
yeah,
the smell
smells
of almonds.
And tastes like almonds.
Oh no.
I know.
But
oops.
It
well, I just drank a whole bottle of almond flavor.
well
I don't know. It just seems like he's really opening himself up, and I don't know.
We've talked about the QAnon conspiracy theory. If you are somehow one of these weirdos who missed that show, QAnon is this very sad conspiracy theory that covers many topics, but one of them is that there's someone with Q-level security clearance who knows what's really going on with the deep state. And a lot of that conspiracy has to do with the fact that Robert Mueller is actually not trying to bring Donald Trump down. It's that Donald Trump and Robert Mueller are working together to bring down Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the pedophile sex rings that are out here.
Oh, this was the Pizzagate thing, right?
Well, and this is before Pizzagate.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
this is the newest thing. And it's starting to, like, at his rallies, more and more people are showing up with Q t-shirts, and like CNN interviewed him. We have an episode where, like, you could hear them basically, like a journalist is walking them through their own ideas, and then they're kind of like, huh. Like, a few people are kind of realizing how flimsy it is. But anyway, it's basically a security blanket for very scared Trumpers to be like, no, what is actually happening that is objectively does not look good for the president is actually it's a good thing. We just don't know because there's something going on behind the scenes that you have to read between the lines.
Right. Sure.
So this is not one of the Trump supporter conspiracy theories where it's like, well, we're never really going to know. It's one where it's like, it has a clear expiration date. It's like one of those cults where they're like, and the world is going to end on this date in like 2 weeks. And when it doesn't, you're like, well, you were wrong, because they think that once the Mueller investigation is over, it's going to be revealed that he was working with Trump the whole time, which is why some people think that the whole QAnon conspiracy was a left-wing, like, troll.
Like, fuck you?
Yeah, like a fuck
I
you.
I mean, it would be brilliant.
It really
but,
would.
I
mean,
don't...
it will be, because we are going to eventually find out that Mueller was not secretly working with Trump to uncover a bunch of pedophiles.
Quite the opposite.
So this is, like, these people, as much as it's possible to feel sympathy for people, they are going to be proven wrong very publicly, and they're already like, oh, God, man, I really need this to be true,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, so... On 8chan, which is one of the internet's greatest message boards.
8chan, not 4chan?
Yeah, this is a whole other one. Yeah, turn it up by two. Anyway, on 8chan, there's some QAnon people talking, and one person began this discussion about a lawsuit against the mainstream media because they're making us look stupid, basically, is what their argument. So I just want to read some choice posts on this message board. Wonkhead pulled some of these, and they are hilarious. So the first one says, this is, and I'm quoting verbatim, here we go. When this is all done, can we get a class action lawsuit going against the MSM for wrecking all our families? No joke.
Media.
The amount of division and pain the mainstream media has caused is incalculable. Just got accused by my 67-year-old mother for spewing lies and aligning to a hateful ideology. Truth bombed her about Manafort being exonerated 8 years ago by Rosenstein. Truth bombed her about Operation Mockingbird. Truth bombed her about Oleg Deripaska, blah, 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 goes on. She then has the audacity to call them lies but can't provide evidence, just turns on me and tries to make me think I'm irrational. I'm serious. The MSM, they're responsible for this shit. How many families have been fighting for the past 2 years? Breakups, divorces, fired, estranged families, and ex-friends? Goddamn the mainstream media. I can't wait anymore. Let's just sue them now. So,
you know what? He's being vulnerable.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's true.
Yeah, he is being vulnerable in a way, right?
In a way.
But not being vulnerable, but he still has to be right. And he's still putting up the thing where he can't just own. He's like, he's not being vulnerable in the way that he can be honest with himself. Like, look, I was very desperate to not believe this. And I feel really bad right now because I don't know what to do. It's no, fuck the mainstream. It's not me. It's the mainstream.
Right.
Is what this is.
This whole conspiracy theory is built out of an inability to show vulnerability. They're just unwilling to be wrong about anything. And so they were Trump supporters. It's either that Trump is guilty or there is a massive, like, the Sting style operation that is going on where Trump is, like, playing the mainstream media and they cannot show vulnerability about Trump being wrong. So they have constructed this giant conspiracy theory based on a guy who just tweets stuff like the storm is coming. And they're like, see, that means like they.
Well, that was when Trump said that in front of a bunch of military families.
Right.
That they were like, oh, what is he talking about?
Right. Yeah.
What's he talking about? Anyway, so let me read a couple more.
Please.
Because then the whole crew jumps in to be like, let me regale you with tales of emotional trauma because of my belief in QAnon. There's another one. I'm sleeping on the couch again tonight because I had a flare-up. I hope this turns out to be truer than true. My wife wants to divorce me soon, possibly, because she thinks I'm in a cult group for reading this stuff. It sucks. I'm due sick over it. Typo. Okay, what about this one? Goodness, yes, I agree with you. I don't know what everybody is going through entirely, but what I've been through has really changed my life. I've lost friends, been accused of all kinds of things, and almost had my girlfriend turn against me during Gamergate. She read the wiki on it and thought I was some kind of Nazi for being pro-Gamergate. We have been abused, criticized, shamed, misrepresented, and we kept turning to the liberals, while the liberals, commie liberals, I'm not saying the caring classical woke liberals, certainly seem like the enemy. The real enemy was the elite and mainstream media. Another person, same story here. I don't really talk to my 70-year-old parent-in-laws anymore, or even my college-educated younger brother and his wife, because all they watch is MSNBC, CNN, and NPR, and they've learned only to hate a straw man of me. I can't talk to them about anything at all. Recently, Pops made some delusional comment about Trump being a crony capitalist giving kickbacks to his buddies in the prison industry. I was tired of the insanity and spoke up saying Trump is actually working to break up all that sort of thing and have prison reforms. This guy got emotionally upset with me for even hinting at a defense of Trump's character. If only they knew what was going on here.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
So many thoughts.
Yeah.
Those people, they're so hurt. That makes me sad. It really makes me sad.
Well, right, because they're really grasping onto this thing of like, everything I thought is a lie, but now they just have to say, well, reality has to be a lie then.
Yeah.
But this goes back to, if Trump died tomorrow, if Trump got, like, resigned from office tomorrow, these people
no
are
one
not
will accept it.
They're not going to accept it. They're not going to be like they have way too much tied up in this. So
the only way it could be is if Trump, which will never happen, made a public address and said, "I did commit these things. I am going to resign my presidency because of these acts that I took. I should not be president of the United States."
No, but right. Even if he said that, they would spin it into, "No, he's being forced to say that. It's a deep yeah, they would say all of those things. It's just so sad." Ugh.
But yeah, I guess just in general, like, the lack of self-awareness and being able to own up to, like, yeah, look, maybe you really did think Trump was going to bring jobs back to where you were or somehow address your condition you're in with bills, with medical care or whatever, and it didn't happen. And now you're starting to see that all these things are coming out that would indicate to most people that him being president isn't a good thing. But if you can't accept that, then you just have to go on to, well, I need something else to keep me feeling.
What are the five stages of loss, of mourning? This is like the denial stage, the QAnon people. So next is like, bargaining, and then depression.
Yeah, but that's when people are unable to, like, if you had a whole conspiracy that like a whole group of people who was like, yeah, no, you're right. Your husband isn't dead. And here's right. the conspiracy where he's like hiding over somewhere and he's doing it all to save the world. Like then
he's working with Jesus
right.
To put the devil in jail right. and then he will come back.
Right. You would just never need to get through the denial stage. And
yeah.
I feel like that's where we might be.
It's the same shit with people who go to like psychics. To feel good about, you know, because, you know, a psychic will just tell you some shit that you're like, oh, okay, good. That's mm-hmm. really what's going on. And sure, I mean, on some level, people have intuition or whatever. But I think a lot of people need sometimes they just need something outside of themselves to help explain away the bad shit that they're experiencing or feeling. And like if your family's telling you, hey, this you're full of shit. None of this is true. Wake the fuck up. It's hard for someone to be like, yeah, you're right. I was really fucking dumb there, wasn't I?
Yep. Yeah.
That's just the thing that. It's hard for people to say.
We've talked before, like one of the most surprising things I've learned just in reading up on most of the people who believe all this shit and who are, you know, like the Roger Stones of the world who are still Trump supporters. One of their core beliefs is that Nixon got railroaded. The whole Watergate thing
right.
was Nixon being done wrong by the liberal mainstream media. So all this shit that they're now coming out and openly believing, the basis for that has been brewing in the conservative movement 4 years. It's just they haven't felt strong enough to like come out and say it in public.
Right.
So yeah, that there's never going to be like these folks are never going to admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just important to like recognize, come from an empathetic point of view whenever you like meet one of these people in the wild.
Right.
Yeah, and just come from a place of like understanding and just not like shame them or try not to.
Yeah. I think what we need to do is we should create a space for people to come see the light from Trump. And
yes.
look, if you were once a supporter,
right.
if you
That's
can
okay.
realize you fucked up, I'm not saying, hey, you're canceled forever.
Right.
Hey, because, I wore bondage pants for most of 2003.
Exactly.
I'm here now.
I just got rid of my puka shell necklace. Okay?
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been wearing
no,
it
No, I'm just
my...
disappointed that you got rid of it because it looked so cool on you,
It was
man.
The one time I've been wrong. The one time.
The one time.
Right, still good on MoviePass.
We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. All right, let's drop into the Google stream to do a trend skim. Right now, what do people give a shit about? It seems like it's a time for things coming to an end. Ben Affleck's bender is coming to an end. He was driven to rehab by his ex-wife, Jennifer Garner. Shout out to long-suffering wives of fuck-up husbands and vice versa. But because she stopped at Jack in the Box on the way, let him have a little Jack in the Box before he went away. What's better for a hangover than Jack in the Box for people who don't live in Jack in the Box regions? It's just a great, greasy fast food restaurant that has some of the best deep-fried tacos out there. Big
they're
Bang.
Deep fried?
Yeah. It's like they drop them in a fryer, which is how things become deep fried. That has been Science Hour.
Let's myth bust that. No, I'm kidding.
Big Bang Theory is coming to an end. And these are all things that are like in the top five trending things on Google over the past couple of days. But Jim Parsons is apparently the reason why this tends to happen with sitcoms where, you know, he's...
Jim Parsons?
Yeah, Jim Parsons ends them.
Yeah.
He's like a sitcom executioner. No, but his career is, it seems to exist outside of the show. So he's the one who decides to end it. The rest of the stars are heartbroken. And yeah, America is also heartbroken. I am not a fan.
But I also like, if people enjoy it, they enjoy it. I'm happy for them. But...
I also feel it's so deep in syndication.
Yeah,
right.
Like...
And it's not like it's one of those shows where I feel like you're watching it. Like, is this a new one? Or
Right.
It's also there's a point. Like, I if you like the show, I'm not trying to shit on you. But you're an awful person and deserve to know. No, I just think of, like, how many times can you watch? Like, I liked How I Met Your Mother, but I could have done without like several of those seasons. And I feel like I think it was fine to end when it did. I think Friends was fine to end. I don't want anyone who's working on a thing who depends on a thing for livelihood to lose their job, but I also feel like if you've been on this show for this long, you've probably got some money saved up at this point. But that's for me. I like the British TV model of we kind of just tell the story we want to tell and we get out. Like, I know, like, The Good Place, which I love, I thought it was always planned to be three seasons, and apparently he's had, like, at least up to seven seasons in his head of what he can do with The Good Place.
Oh, really?
And there's a point in my head, I'm like, I kind of wish he would just do one more season to be done with it. As much as I like that show, like, but then again, I'm also someone who, when Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled by Fox, I was like furious. I was like, no, we need more Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I know. It's just such a comforting show to let wash over your brain, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But anyways, Jim Parsons, you're putting a lot of people's family in a very bad spot.
Yeah, Jim Parsons.
You're
way
a monster.
To go.
Urban Meyer's, we don't cover a lot of sports stuff on this podcast.
Well, I'm an Ohio State alumni, and so this is like, there's a certain point where like I'm just like, it's hard to say you're from Ohio State anymore because like there's always a scandal, there's always something happening.
There really is.
But see, that's what happens when you have the biggest schools in the country and you make so much of your importance around your sports program.
Right. So he's being suspended for a whole 3 games, which is a big deal because he basically had every reason to know that his former assistant, his wide receivers coach, was abusing his wife. His wife talked to Myers and Myers' wife about it, and they were like, she seems like a real drama queen.
Yeah.
And apparently the dude was a monster. There's all sorts of, as the article wrote, embarrassing and promiscuous sexual behavior.
I think he likes to be dominated.
Very puritanical, but yeah. I guess.
Which isn't embarrassing, but I'm sure if you're in like the Midwest or that high up married, they're like, how could you?
How could you? there was a conversation between Meyer and his AD on the practice field where the athletic director was like, hey, there's a bad article coming out. And then they proceeded to talk about how to alter the settings on your phone to delete text messages from over a year ago, which is just Trumpian, just incompetent shade. And I've always been waiting for the other shoe to drop on this dude because he retired from Florida, had a really great career at Florida, retired to, spend more time with his family. And it was sort of out of nowhere. There were like some health issues from stress, which I totally believe. But then he took like a couple seasons off and then took the most difficult and all-consuming job in college football. As the coach of Ohio State. So
when you're an alpha, you're an alpha.
Of the Ohio State University. I'm sorry, Riley.
Yeah.
I am too, as an alumni of the Ohio State University.
Were you there when he was coaching?
No, I'm too old for that. Okay. It was the previously. The previous coach who was left in shame.
And finally, and maybe most importantly, guys,
Jim Tressel was the coach that I think Tressel also had to leave negative reasons
for
so like,
violations of NCAA recruiting.
So
and
he was the coach when I was a student.
Guys, the Korean Taekwondo team.
Yes.
So producer Anna Hosnier sent this to our group thread last night.
Late last night.
I've seen plenty of karate videos. I was like, what is she doing? So we had to get in this morning before I finally watched it. And it is not like the other karate videos you've seen before.
No, this is amazing. Also, it's Taekwondo.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Jack.
Yeah, but like in my dumb brain, I was like, karate video? I've seen Karate Kid. What is this bullshit?
So this Korean Taekwondo team does the most amazing performance where they're basically, they bring these like sticks that have plywood held up very high up, and then they just proceed to defy gravity and destroy every piece of plywood. But in the most synchronized, amazing way.
Yeah, they're like doing flips through the air like you would see maybe you know how when cheerleaders do flips in the air, there's like 7 people standing around them throwing them into the air? It's like they're doing that, but nobody's throwing them in the air. And then at certain points, as they are flying through the air, they just like go into slow motion.
Yeah.
Like it's really one of the craziest things I've ever seen. The Korean Taekwondo team fucking rules. And it's to the point that you are like, well, why isn't this just all of our karate movies? Like, why isn't this all of our action movies is just this team kicking people's asses because it's so dope.
Yeah, they should just be hiring these guys.
But apparently there's a type of martial arts where you just like throw people around and they just fly through the air and look like it's really Crouching Tiger-esque.
Yeah.
With
video will be in our footnotes. Please go watch it. It's wild.
Yeah. That came across your transom on Twitter?
The Twitters? It's got like 40 to 50K retweets because everyone is losing their minds for this.
What was your favorite response to it?
There's a lot of like 50 Cent telling people to go grab the strap to go just shoot them if they come for you, which is just funny. Just like overwhelmed, like, right. Oh God,
yeah,
get
it's a great
gun.
It's a great gift because it's a defeated response. Yeah. It's like he's almost exhausted. He's like, I guess go get the strap because yeah. we have
no chance.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.